When the workday is over and the sun is slung low in the sky, people drift over to the Chengdu People's Park and dance away the stress of the day. They waltz and cha-cha under willow trees, couples, old women, a mother with her toddler, all moving together in rhythm. On the other side of the park, over a bridge and past a pond, they found a more individualized way to express themselves. There's a long red carpet lying on the ground, and anyone who wants to can strut their stuff down this ersatz catwalk. One young guy swivels his hips. Some middle-aged women in sunglasses and tight slacks slink down like the models they've seen on TV. I ask one of the women, a stockbroker named Wang Chuanyin, how she feels walking down the catwalk. Really confident, she says. I feel like I'm expressing my value as an individual. Chinese society, under communist rule, started out more like the ballroom dancers, all in sync, all expected to dance the same steps to the same tune. These days, more and more Chinese are like Ms. Wang, wanting to express themselves as individuals and wanting their value as individuals noticed. One of the other strutters, who asked me not to use his name, has seen that whole trajectory. He says he was 5 years old when the Communist Party came to power, and he believed in it, even when he was starving and eating tree bark during the Great Famine, even when he suffered through the Cultural Revolution. He grew up to be a tank driver in the People's Liberation Army, and then worked as a technician for a weapons project. He learned Russian and married a Russian woman and thought China should follow Moscow's lead. He believed in it all, until he didn't. He says, I sacrificed everything for communism. When the dream was broken, it was really painful for me. Now, he says, he believes in having a more open and free society. And these days in China, he's in good company. Zhang Qianfan is a law professor at Peking University. He says the public's appetite for greater rights and rule of law to support them is growing, but the system isn't keeping pace.
So it's the institution and leaders who lag behind. And there's a dramatic gap between the public expectation and our existing official situation.
Zhang says corruption and abuse of individual rights are rife because there are too few checks and balances on power. Which is why Zhang, in December, drafted and circulated a call for political reform, for allowing the freedoms of speech, press, and assembly granted by China's own constitution, as well as rule of law and some kind of electoral democracy. He stopped short of calling for a multi-party democracy, or the end of Communist Party rule, which is probably why he and the 100 or so lawyers and academics who signed the initiative are still walking free. The originator of a similar petition that took that one extra step, Nobel Peace Prize winner Liu Xiaobo, is serving a long prison term for writing Charter 08.
I don't think the 08 Charter received the desirable effect. It sort of exceeded the bound, which created fear, hatred. We agree with most of the proposals made in the Charter, but we also think that we need to use a different strategy.
And that is to encourage a dialogue between Chinese people and their leaders. China's new leaders say they want such a dialogue. They've said they want the public and the press to exercise more supervision over the government. But the new government is now imposing new restrictions on what Chinese journalists can say online, even forbidding them from quoting foreign news reports without authorization. That's one way of trying to improve the party's image. President Xi Jinping laid out others in his speech at the end of the National People's Congress in March.
People of all levels and all walks of life should be centered around the Communist Party of China more closely.
In other words, when it comes to political reform, Xi is more interested in purifying and strengthening the party than in allowing checks and balances on its power. At a press conference at the National People's Congress, even journalists with state-run media sounded disappointed with the very limited reforms being unveiled.
Thank you. Good morning, Vice Minister. I'm with CCTV and CNTV. I've read the draft plan which has been made public, and it seems that this current reform falls short of what the society had previously expected.
The response? Reforms can't happen overnight. There has to be a consensus. And finding a consensus is hard when vested interests are at play, to wit, a party elite that's grown rich by controlling all the levers of power. How do you get everyone to agree to give up a monopoly of power that's worked so well for them for so long? Part of the answer might be found on a balcony high in an apartment tower in Chengdu. A man sits in a bamboo chair with his laptop on a little table and a pot of tea nearby. His mobile phone rings constantly. This is blogger and former political prisoner Huang Qi. He's fielding calls from people all over China who have grievances with the government. He gives advice. He tells this caller to keep the protest peaceful and not do anything rash. He takes down details and puts them on his website, a catalog of discontent around the country. Huang Qi is one of 500 million Chinese online, sharing information and ideas. He cheerfully admits the authorities aren't always thrilled about what he's doing. He says, "This is the 19th place I've lived in the past 2 years since I was released from prison. In the other places, the local government would pressure the neighborhood police to drive me away. It was really annoying." Huang Qi says he's been in this place since November, so that's progress. But even when I came to visit, guards at the gate of his apartment complex radioed to police in his building. They turned off the electricity for the elevators. So I walked up 16 flights of stairs, in the dark. But this is all pretty Mickey Mouse stuff to a guy who spent time in solitary confinement for using his blog to try to help families of those killed in the Tiananmen crackdown. And for all the hassle, Huang Qi actually thinks things are getting better. He says, "There's been a dramatic change in China's human rights situation over the past 14 years or so, since he first went to prison. Now, many ordinary people dare to expose government officials' corruption, as well as give details about how their own human rights have been violated. And they use their real names. They talk about freedom and democracy. And many of them are doing this online. This is real progress," he says. "But it's not a gift from the authorities. It's a result of our own efforts." Such efforts are increasing pressure for political reform that a growing number of Chinese feel is long past due.
In China, with the change in our society, people don't have the right to vote, but people should have the right to know.
He Jiahong is a novelist inspired by Sherlock Holmes and by his own law studies at Chicago's Northwestern University 20 years back. He Jiahong also does direct training on criminal procedure. He's a law professor at People's University and a former public prosecutor. He feels rule of law is one of the political reforms China needs, but it's not the only one. Transparency matters too. He says there's an entrenched government mentality that its decisions should be made in secret.
But this got to be changed, because in modern society of a democracy and the rule of law, the people's right to know is more important than the leader's privacy.
One of He Jiahong's novels illustrates this. It's about a fictional city in southern China that used to have its share of problems with corruption until government officials were required to declare their private assets. Policymaking meetings began to be televised live, and government records became publicly available.
Some readers said, "There's no such a city in Guangdong. I hope there will be one there."
For now, the government seems none too keen to lift its controls on information, much less voluntarily share it. Internet censors only seem to be upping their game, and Chinese journalists have grown frustrated with the barrage of directives from censors telling them what to do. Protests have even broken out, like this one at the newspaper Southern Weekly in Guangzhou earlier this year. Journalists were angry that the censors had rewritten a front-page editorial that called for honoring rights in the Constitution, including freedom of speech and the press. What ended up being printed was bland party speak, praising the new leaders. Eventually, the government and the journalists reached a truce without anyone being fired or imprisoned. Progress over what might have happened in years past. And that's how political reform will come in China, says He Jiahong. gradually, through people knowing their rights and speaking out for them. Hu wants China to move toward rights-based rule of law, but he doesn't think the Chinese are ready for multi-party democracy.
Because the political struggle in China is not so civilized. In China, especially at quite a high level, if you lose, that means not only lose the office, you may lose everything. You know, the tradition in China is that the winner is the king, the loser is the thief.
That'll take some time to change, He says. But that's just one man's opinion, and it's an open question whether Chinese will be that patient for change. But meanwhile, Chinese people are changing themselves. The old man in the park, who didn't want to be named, says he reads constantly to challenge beliefs that had been formed under a system of political control that China's communists learned from the Soviets. The old man says he's come to prefer the American system of freedoms, but he's still fond of Russia. Some of the other catwalkers stop and join in, with smiles of recognition and nods of nostalgia. It's another world now in China, from when those of a certain age here learned this Russian song and all that went with it. China has opened up, and Chinese are now increasingly asking the party to do the same. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstud, Chengdu.